B-Pod Studios.
Celtics and Revs Audio, all in one convenient location on the podcast page at 98.5thesportshub.com and on the Sports Hub app. Watch Toucher and Rich on Twitch. Follow the Sports Hub on twitch.tv for live shows and reruns. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Again, another quick three. He got it. Four straight for Marcus Smart after he missed 20 in a row, and the Celtics lead by 17.
Heat check on top of heat check.
I mean, nothing in this world beats the Marcus Smart freeze check.
98.5 The Sports Hub. The Boston Celtics coming off a big win in Philadelphia and a dominating win at home last night against the Pistons.
They're going into the All-Star break winning 12 of their last 15. Not a bad way to do it, especially after all the panic over the past couple of days.
Which is odd because of the drama. You would think that things were going way worse. Danny Ainge is the president of basketball operations for the Boston Celtics. He joins us now on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hello, Mr. Danny Ainge.
Good morning. Happy Valentine's Day, brethren.
Hey, happy Valentine's Day for you. Big plans for the Angels this evening?
Yeah, we'll probably go on a date tonight. They have a night off.
Now, you got 9 days off. Does that involve you working, or are you able to travel?
I still have to work.
Well, that's no good. Everyone else gets time off. All right, so let's talk about something that people have been interested in, is that Kyrie Irving has missed the last couple of games, and there's talk that he would play in the All-Star game despite that. I'll ask you, it's a two-parter, but I'll ask you the first one first, which is redundant. But do you have a problem with Kyrie Irving missing the last two games and playing in the All-Star game?
Well, I mean, I would just say that it depends on that, but we will have... Kyrie has to go to Charlotte anyway to participate in all of the festivities. He's coaching the rookie game. He's got family there, and his family's going to spend their time down there. He has some business dealings going on, and that's where he was going to spend his time anyway. So he has his full-time trainer and physio. Those guys are down there, and I totally trust both of those guys with Kyrie. And Kyrie will be looking for a gym and be doing basketball things in some of his free time. And if they think that he can benefit from running up and down the court, because he has to do some progression before he gets back out on the court for our game Thursday night. So I don't really have a problem if everybody, including Kyrie, is feeling 100%, and the two guys that are with him from our staff are 100% behind it. I have no problem with it.
All right, so, like, he would have to be 100%. Do you see that from not being able to play in a game on a Wednesday night to being able to play an All-Star game on a Sunday? Is that enough time, in your opinion, to get 100% healthy based on what you know about his injury?
Yeah, because, he wasn't 100% for last night's game, but he was very close, and we hadn't been able to do the progressions just to get him back out. And so it's not anything that we expect him to play when the All-Star break returns, and you can't just return to play without doing things on the court over this next week.
Okay, so this is obviously...
Wallach must feel good about himself.
What's that?
Danny Ainge saying that playing in the All-Star game could help him, to which I...
because he's going to have to... You can't replace an opportunity to play up and down. I mean, there's a lot of times when guys are coming back from injuries that we'll have a practice with our G League team, and they'll go, full out. And, I mean, an All-Star game is probably less strenuous than that. And he'll probably not play a ton of minutes if he were to play. So, anyway, I do trust all of those guys, including Kyrie, that they'll do the right thing and you know, maybe not from an outside perspective, right thing, but what the right thing is for him and to get him ready to play next Thursday.
Well, this has been a strange week because we went from, all right, the team's looking good, to this team is imploding, to, hey, this team's looking good again, all within a seven-day period. When you saw what Marcus Morris said after that 28-point collapse, what did you think of him being the one that said something, and did you have a problem with what he said in public?
You know, I don't have a problem with that. I mean, these guys are big boys, and you know, Marcus is an emotional guy. He cares about the team. He cares about how we're playing, and you know, I don't necessarily think it's the best way, but I don't have a problem with it. No,
but it worked. I mean, I'm not. Who's saying that that's exactly the thing that did it? But I mean, don't you sometimes, as a player, Danny, you know, you can think back to when you played. Don't you have to somewhat sometimes be embarrassed if there's a major problem? And doesn't embarrassment kind of provide you with, I guess, the motivation to improve?
Yeah, so I do think that that's true. I do think that most of the great athletes that I've been around, when they're humiliated, I would not want to play the next game against them. And I think that, you know, losing those two games in a row when they're teams that we should have beat, teams we had a lead on, we played really well, those were two tough losses to deal with. And I think that we were going to come out and play hard against Philly, whether anybody said anything publicly or not, just because I know how our guys would respond. You know, the team went through it and looked at it, and I think that those things can be handled internally, preferably, but... again, I don't have a problem with somebody saying what's on their mind if they're asked a question about it.
Okay, Danny, there was a report that came out yesterday that many people within the Celtics organization think that it was Anthony Davis's agent who leaked out the information about Kyrie Irving possibly wanting to leave the team in order to get some sort of leverage with the Lakers and to make the Celtics possibly think that he wouldn't resign. Do you believe any of that that's out there? Do you think that that information and that story that came out was put out there nefariously?
I do not. And I do. I don't know how it got out there, but I do not know.
Okay. So, and I know we've talked to you about how you spoke with Kyrie after that, and it sounds like everything is, you know, kind of. I mean, you made the whole marriage thing, which launched a million Photoshops. After you made that comment, which was pretty fantastic.
Making news again.
After all that's done, do you still, when you talk to the rest of this team, whenever a team has success without a star player, the media starts to talk and say, you know, do you really need this guy? When you look at Kyrie Irving and you see how the team sometimes plays without him, can you understand why some people watching the Celtics think that maybe this team could do it without him?
I do not, no. It's completely illogical and makes no sense. If you just look at the data over the last 2 years, our team is so much better. I mean, it wasn't but a month ago we were trying to figure out how in the world are we going to score without Kyrie on the court. And everybody was struggling and going through their challenges. And, I mean, now you know, we're getting a lot of good play out of a lot of good guys. The last couple of nights, you know, Jason Tatum and Gordon Hayward and Al Horford are, you know, they're playing great basketball. And Jaylen Brown has, you know, really stepped up his game over the last couple of months even and really bought into his role off the bench. And so I feel like, you know, we just need to all play well. But Kyrie is by far our most efficient offensive player, without question. And our team, when Kyrie is on the court over the last 2 years, is by far more efficient with Kyrie playing than when he's not. And so, no, I think that it's ridiculous to think. Now, having said that, do other players like a bigger role when you have a guy that is your best scorer? Yeah, heck, when I used to play with Bird, I never didn't want Larry Bird on my team, but I got very excited when Larry or Kevin weren't going to play in a game that night because that, you know, that meant more shots and more opportunities, and that was fun. But I knew that to win the big thing and to win it all, you can't be without those great players, and that's how I feel about Kyrie.
Did you watch Isaiah Thomas's return last night?
I did, yeah. I got home from the game and turned that on, and that was really fun to see.
Okay, so one of the things that came out of this last like week and a half was that Anthony Davis's father made a comment saying that he didn't want Anthony Davis playing for the Celtics because he felt that you guys did Isaiah Thomas wrong by trading him after all that he went through, playing through his, you know, sister's death, playing through injury.
Right.
What was your thoughts when you heard those comments?
Well, I'm not going to say what my real thoughts were, but you know, listen, this is tough business, and that was a very difficult situation for all of us that we all went through, and I'll just leave it at that. But I respect Isaiah Thomas. I'm grateful for my association with him and all that he did for us, and always will be.
Isaiah doesn't hold that against you, does he? Because you guys have spoken. You guys are still friendly, correct?
Yeah, I mean, I just reached out to Isaiah yesterday, wishing him, you know, good luck in his return, and that was really, it was really fun, and he responded, and it's really fun to see him back on the court, and, you know, made some big shots last night for them, and a 2-point victory, and contributed to their success. That was really fun to see.
So he's still friendly with you. I know you reached out to him, but he still has a positive attitude towards you and the organization, correct?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think that there's always, I don't know. You'd have to ask Isaiah the answer to those. But he has been friendly to me over the last year or so.
Word association, Anthony Davis' father.
Can't trip you up, Danny.
He's too smart.
Can't trip him up.
Yeah, listen.
Suffice it to say, you didn't like it.
I just think that those are games being played, and I don't really pay much attention to it. We all know that this is a business. There are tough trades. There are relationships you develop, and that's by far the hardest part of my job.
All right, Danny, just to change the subject for a second, have you ever missed 20 consecutive threes in your entire career? And have you ever kept shooting after something like that happened?
I will say this about Marcus. He is, it's what we love about Marcus. He's just fearless. And
yes, he is. That's a word to say, yes, he's fearless.
He's scoreless.
I mean, sometimes he gets out of hand, but I really appreciate his determination and his grit. And, you know, come hell or high water, he's going to keep shooting that shot.
It's one way of putting it.
I think that that's the right thing. For us to be a great team, Marcus needs to make shots. At the same time, he does so many other things on the court that if he's not making shots, he can still contribute. But if he's not making shots and he keeps shooting lots of shots, then that's not good.
Well, what would you call yesterday?
Have you been happy with his shot selection? How about that? Because there's sometimes where you go through a slump. I mean, I've never seen anything like that. But were you happy with most of his shot selection?
Well, I think there was a stretch this year. I could be wrong. Where, you know, one of the greatest shooters of all time is Klay Thompson, and one of the greatest shooters in the game today. And I think he went through like a 1-for-34, 1-for-35 stretch. So 0-for-20 doesn't really seem that crazy in a slump.
But Klay Thompson took all those shots in one game.
Right, but you know what? I mean, even good shooters have stretches where you're going to have shooting slumps, especially from the 3-point line. And Marcus, the other thing I love about Marcus is in that 20 shots, I bet there were 3 or 4 or 5 even of those shots that were half court heaves, late shot, because he shoots them. Most guys try to protect their percentages and hang on to the shots and won't even shoot those shots. But that's another thing I love about Marcus. He doesn't care about the percentages. He's just trying to win the game.
Okay, so one of the great things that's happened over the last couple of weeks, I guess since the beginning of February, is Gordon Hayward has finally started to become the guy that we all wanted him to be when he was first signed with the team.
Ran the point last night.
Yeah, he looked good. He returned to the starting lineup. What do you think has happened during that time? Is this just a matter of it just took a little bit of time on the floor to get the confidence, the shot? What have you made of his emergence over the past couple of weeks?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Gordon is playing with fun, and he's playing with force. His body looks healthy. He looks to be playing with confidence. Some of that confidence last night could be that, you know, like Rozier and Kyrie weren't there. He's clearly the next best ball handler and hit with Marcus. So I think that, you know, the opportunities are coming also. But it's fun to see. I mean, Gordon's worked really hard on getting himself back, and he's playing with a lot of force right now, and it's huge for our team. We may not win either of these last two games without not just Gordon playing, but like having a real good Gordon Hayward.
Yep, and the one thing too is if you look at those two losses that were back to back, the Clippers and the Lakers one. The one guy who the team really missed was Aaron Baines. What's the latest on his injury, and when do you expect him to return?
Aaron is. I'm not sure. I'm not sure when Aaron's going to return. He will return, but it's, you know, probably later this month or early March, somewhere in there.
Okay.
He's probably a couple weeks away.
How'd you like those refs last night? Did you get to watch the broadcast and hear Tommy Heinsohn's honest criticism?
Yeah.
Tommy's the best, isn't he? I love that guy. Yeah, Tommy was good last night.
Yeah, I was thinking that the refs were basically messing up everything just to welcome Tommy back and make him feel comfortable.
Yeah, I was worried about his blood pressure last night. I mean, he needs a doctor by his side when he gets in those moods. So we gotta keep close tabs on Tommy.
All right, Richard Jefferson believes there is a small dumpster fire brewing with you guys. Is he correct? I would imagine, yes.
I don't know what that means. What do you mean?
I didn't say it. He goes, we have a big dumpster fire in L.A., and we have a small dumpster fire brewing here in Boston. It's because you have the Anthony Davis situation. You have Jason Tatum saying, hey, I wouldn't mind being the face of a franchise. Why are you? You have a chance to win a championship with the team you're talking about being the face of the New Orleans Pelicans. That lets you know that things are brewing. So I guess, do you believe that Jason Tatum's comments in the pursuit of Anthony Davis or the perceived pursuit of Anthony Davis has caused any kind of problems in the locker room?
I don't think that the guys are trying to win the game the next night. We have a big schedule coming out. I don't even think that anybody's talking or thinking about any of that.
All right, so you don't think, what did you make of Jason Tatum saying he wouldn't mind being the face of a franchise?
You know what? I didn't hear or see any of that.
Now we can get a gut reaction.
That was a report that somebody said that there's no quote, I think, that.
So you're saying that somebody just, you know, in content wasteland, somebody just, a source just said that Jason might not be like me in the face of the franchise.
Is there a problem? Well, it's not like he compared LeBron to Trump or anything. I mean. All right, Danny. Well, listen. You got more? You got more hot stuff?
At least it was a direct quote. It wasn't.
Yes, we thank you for the soundbite being everywhere, with the source being a Boston radio station.
Yeah, Boston radio station. They don't get us on it.
Well, listen, Danny Ainge, have a lovely Valentine's Day and enjoy your big night on the town. And enjoy, I know you don't get time off, but probably a little less to worry about over these next few days. And hopefully Kyrie does the right thing and doesn't play in the All-Star game. I know that it's eating you out. We appreciate the time.
All right, guys. Good talking to you.
You too, man.
Happy Valentine's Day.
And let's just, and by the way, I'm glad Danny said that. Let's just stop with the whole "this team is better without Kyrie Irving" thing. Just stop. They were 1-11.
I mean, what is Adam Jones going to talk about for 5 hours?
Stop with that.
He's crushed his program.
I mean, do these guys get more time? Is it beneficial to some of these players, even like Hayward, that they're on the court a little bit more? Absolutely. That's why I didn't even have too much of a problem with him, you know, not playing these games and maybe playing in the All-Star game. There's like 4 days between this game and the All-Star game as well. And I like
the company line with Wallach. It's good for him to play in the All-Star game. We'll get him back healthy.
Danny agrees?
So upset that Ainge agreed with me instead of you.
I think that's a company line.
I think that's a problem.
I think it's a company line.
I think you have a problem with Ainge agreeing with me instead of you.
You think Wallach got the email?
No. I think that Wallach is naive. I think that Wallach is naive.
So Ainge is naive. And Brad Stevens is naive.
Fred? The difference is I think that they know that question is out there, so they've come to the consensus that they would say this is beneficial for him to play in the All-Star.
Because it's not
and
possible.
Wallach got the email.
It's not possible that they agree
with
me.
Get an email?
Yeah, of course.
Well, it tells us what to say, because I'm a part-time team broadcaster.
That's
so
right.
Well,
Brian, it's in there as well. Yes, I do believe that's a company line.
Okay.
I don't think it's ridiculous to say that.
I might be wrong. Well, I think that was the whole point.
I mean, I might be wrong.
You are wrong. That's the point.
I'm wrong if you believe what they're saying.
Yes.
Right. But do you believe everything these guys say, or do you think sometimes they spin things to kind of get rid of some controversy?
Or they work for the team. In Ainge's case, he's been in basketball the better part of 4 decades, has seen a lot, and understands.
See, Rich, what percentage do you think it is a company line?
You know what? I put it this way. I think it's a situation where it couldn't hurt. You know, so it's not like it's a huge benefit,
It didn't sound to me like he was thrilled about him playing in that game.
That's not the vibe I got. I got at all.
I got that vibe.
No, I didn't get that.
It's company line. I'm not lying to you. That's what I think.
I'm aware.
I'm wrong all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm wrong about things all the time. I don't think I'm wrong about this.
I love Ainge about Marcus Smart. Come hell or high water, he's going to keep shooting that shot.
All right. We will be back in just a moment.
For the latest podcasts, the latest sports news, and for Tetra and Rich, download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
98.5 The Sports Hub, we are Tetra and Rich. I don't know why I'm dreading this, but the countdown to my back waxing is, I've had it done plenty of times.
Well, because it's painful, because it's not fun.
Yeah, I don't know why it's getting me today, because I'm going to Florida, and my wife scheduled me a back wax appointment without me asking for it. So I figured that I'm of great embarrassment, because you can't be incredibly out of shape and have a hairy back. Mm. That's a double trouble.
No.
So this is the situation that I'm in now. I have to have this hair removed. And then when they remove it, it looks like a perfect square.
Oh, really? So you can see where the... Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, like it's obvious that you've gotten something. It's obvious you have a hairy back.
It's like someone colored your back with a white crayon.
Right, exactly. Okay. It's like an exact square of no hair. Because it's funny, because at my lower back and ass, I really don't have much hair.
Yeah.
So, but it's all like up top, like I'm an orangutan. And so when they pull it, it's just so obvious. I wonder why your shoulder hair all of a sudden. Oh, that's so odd that you have a bunch of hair on your shoulders, but none on your back.
So you guys are going to like the beach, right?
We're going to Marathon, which is not like super beachy, but yeah.
You got to start being like some people, and you can rock the... what is it called? Like the sun. It's like a long sleeve shirt, like the O'Neill black long sleeve, shirt.
Like the surf, like shirts.
What's it called? Like a sun guard or whatever it is? You can look kind of smooth and wear one of those nowadays.
Yeah, you look like an 8-year-old in a pool.
There's a lot of people who love surfing, love catching the waves. They wear those suckers.
Yeah, I don't know if in Marathon that's necessary because of the, but I don't think Marathon's much for the surf.
It shows you're very progressive. You understand the dangers of the sun.
Well, the last time I went on that, last February we went on that dumb Disney cruise, I came off of it and I started having these white splotches on the top of my head, and the dermatologist said that I probably had some kind of condition, but I never followed up because I didn't want to know what it was.
Oh, sure. Well, what you don't know will hurt you.
Yeah, I forget the name of it, but he said it's like some conditions. If someone with darker skin gets
cancer.
It, Do you ever see like a guy with darker skin and they have like white splotches?
Yep. Yes. Yes.
Okay, so yes. He thought it was like that.
That, what is the name of that? Is it rosacea or?
No. Rosacea is a reddening. Rosacea is like gin blossoms and that stuff. No, this is, and so I just didn't want to hear about it. But I'm so light-skinned when I'm not in the sun mm-hmm. that you can't tell. Can you tell my forehead? There's a differentiation.
Barely. Just because you just said it, I looked and barely. Like, one part's a little pinker than yes. the rest. But it's not much. I mean, you can barely tell.
So I got that going for me now. Never go to the doctor. They just. And he goes, the end of September, he's like, put this on your head and then go sit out in the sun. What sun? So I stopped doing that.
Was that what happened to Sammy Sosa? Was Sammy Sosa a Michael Jackson type thing where his skin had that condition, so he just wanted to bleach it all? Because I mean, you've obviously seen Sammy Sosa right. then and now.
That's very possible. That might be why he did it.
I mean, now, Sammy Sosa. But it almost looks like strawberry colored. It's not like he's gone. It's not even white. It's like a weird pink that his skin tone is now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the options are if you have darker skin and that happens. You're kind of screwed.
Yeah, but. I mean, I guess you gotta bleach. You can't really darken it, can you? Like, is there a procedure that can color it in?
I would imagine it's much easier to bleach the skin. So at 4:15 today, while you're all going about your business. Oh, yeah, I'm supposed to live Instagram it.
Someone asked if you would. I think it was Dick Donahue who said that.
Former police officer, hero. That Tiverton cops, you know that we're friendly with him, and you say, back off, cops that are upset with us. All right, Rich, the Celtics there.
That was, first of all, I mean, some of the stuff that Danny said was interesting, especially about the Kyrie thing, and you knew that was going to happen. You knew it was going to happen after the game that they played against the 76ers and last night as well, where they end up winning, and they beat a really good team with the Sixers, and last night they, for all intents and purposes, they dominated the Detroit until the very end. There's a little bit of a run, but either way, they'd taken their foot off the gas a little bit. And many people started saying, well, you don't need Kyrie Irving. Who wants Kyrie Irving when he's wishy-washy and saying all these things? Well, that report that I talked to Danny about was true. That came out, at least the report that came out is something that actually was
happening.
Happened. And that is that, and maybe it explains why he was kind of so pissy when he was saying, talk to me on July 1st. That was because the Celtics organization, or at least some people inside the Celtics organization, believe that whole story about Kyrie Irving leaving at the end of the year was leaked out, they believe, by Rich Paul, the agent of Anthony Davis. And they thought that they wanted that kind of chaos to be out there so the Celtics wouldn't feel so confident in putting in all the chips in the center of the table for Anthony Davis so he would be able to go to the Lakers a little easier.
They didn't know Danny Ainge at all. He doesn't give a crap about any of that.
They obviously have no idea about
no
Danny
No research
Ainge.
At all.
None. And every time we talk to Danny, now, whether you believe him or not, when he talks about Kyrie Irving and his commitment to this team, it sure sounds a lot more positive than what everyone in the media seems to be saying. Now, I didn't like what he said in his comments when he talked about that Knicks thing either. But also, I would see myself being completely BS if now you got to deal with all these questions because some jackass agent tried to get his agenda out there and threw your name out there.
But the agent, Rich Paul, is doing his job. Whether you like it or not. And Ainge understands that, too. He understands the business of this. Mm-hmm. And it's his job as a GM to kind of block that stuff out and go about his business and hope it doesn't affect what he's trying to do. But the agent wanted to get his client to L.A. How do you do that? You throw enough crap at the wall and hope some of it sticks and Ainge is scared off. The agent, however, should have known better. I mean, he's dealt with Danny Ainge before and is probably very aware that Ainge is willing to roll the dice and take a risk. But he did the best he could to get his client to where his client wanted to go at that time. Now, it's been also said that none of us know what decisions we're going to make in a year and a half, and neither does Anthony Davis. So to say categorically he'll never sign here, I think is premature.
Well, by the way, the other thing that watching these last several games that should make you feel really good, like, I mean, this is the best story that's come out of these last several games, is that Gordon Hayward, dude, he's averaging 18 points in four of his last five games.
No, last night was another step. Last night was the biggest step, I think, of all of it. because you didn't have a point guard. Terry Rozier was out. Kyrie Irving was out. And Gordon Hayward did last night. He did at Utah.
Imagine if you had a guy.
Ran point. He was the guy with the basketball. He was the primary ball handler. And to see him have confidence like that, as well as dunk a couple of times and be athletic above the rim.
Yeah, he did a little windmill job.
And, yep. That's right. And knocked down some threes, too. I mean, that's the Gordon Hayward we all thought we were getting 2 years ago.
By the way, was I hallucinating, or did it look like Blake Griffin undercut him at one time on
yes,
the
basket? No, you're not hallucinating.
He was hanging on the rim.
And Blake Griffin undercut him.
Blake Griffin went to go get the ball. This is crazy.
Undercut him, clear.
All right, Mr. All-Star Game.
Mr. Correct.
He's on the email, Fred. You can't trust what he's
call
saying.
Call me Mr. Wright.
I saw a show. I saw it, too, and I do not think that was an intentional undercut.
Okay, maybe,
especially
maybe it wasn't intentional,
right,
but it makes you...
I mean... Don't hang on the rim.
No, Blake Griffin. That's Blake Griffin wasn't.
Imagine in the playoffs, you got your starting five, being able to have a guy that could come out and give you 18 points off the bench? Because he's been playing essentially bench minutes until last night, and he's still been averaging 18 points. Having a guy like that, being able to come off and do that. And the other thing, too, is he's earning the trust of the guys around him. Like,
we don't know what the starting lineup is going to look like in a couple of months either. It could very well be that Marcus Smart goes back to the bench and Gordon Hayward is a starter by the end of the season.
They shouldn't do that. I don't think it's worked
so far, but who's to say they don't hit another rough patch and try it and see, and if Gordon Hayward keeps playing the way he's playing, he could very well be in the starting lineup by the end of the season.
Okay, Rich, we have the stat coming up. What will we talk about?
All right, let's talk a little bit about the Patriots. We got some little bit of news, or actually more rumors that are coming out about them and some of their offseason moves. Also, let's get to one of the most unfortunate named gentlemen who just got signed.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. He's an AAF.
Yeah. All right. We will have that for you. Here are the headlines.
It's T&R.
Heard you like to party.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I mean, that's not the way human beings act.
Follow these guys on Twitter at Toucher and Rich.
Boy, did Twitter explode.
Instead of going out buying those little heart-shaped candies, give your girlfriend or your wife a box of Snickers. You see what I mean? They last a long time, and nothing like chewing on that caramel and the nuts. I'll tell you, it's good. It lasts longer. And plus, here's a tip for Mr. T. Valentine's Day really should be every day. I pity the fool who have to wait to Valentine's Day to tell his girlfriend or wife that he love her and buy a box of candy. He should do that every day. Snickers, get some nuts.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
98.5, the Sports Sub with Toucher and Rich. We spent almost the entire 7 o'clock hour talking about it, but I just like to mention it again. Ronnie from Jersey Shore just got a 30-day rehab. When he needs some control of his life, he needs some structure.
Okay.
You know, when they were filming Jersey Shore, everything was okay, but with boredom and not having goals and tasks, that led him to alcohol abuse, and that would lend to chaos in his life.
So you've got him doing that. You've got the situation who is now actually in prison.
Yeah, but in 3 years sober.
It sounds like reality TV is really good for a human being.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like that. When you give an idiot all that notoriety and money for just not doing anything, at least DJ Paulie Delvecchio DJs.
He makes, like, ridiculous money. Like, crazy. Those DJs that are on the Vegas circuit that go in and play those clubs like XS at the Encore, and they just continue to, like, on a nightly basis, they have residencies. Do you know how much money they make a night?
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's like a lot of these guys make, like, several $100,000 an evening.
I don't know if Paulie Delvecchio is at that point.
Paulie's pretty damn high.
Because
shocked. I saw like how much he made for one residency. I'll have to take a look, but I mean, you'll be shocked.
Like most of the time, he's like DJing like the pool party at the Flamingo or something.
No. He's a big name out there. I'm not joking. Like when I was there,
he lives there now.
Well, he was like doing whatever the club at Caesars was, which is no joke.
Is that the one like on the top floor?
No, it's the one when you walk in. It's a new one. It used to be near where the sports book was.
I went to one of the famous club in Vegas years ago, and my wife and I went up, and we're like, wow, they're just letting us in. And it was like 1 o'clock in the morning. There was no one in there, and they weren't going to be there until like 3.
He, according to Forbes magazine, now this was a couple years ago, but he was the 13th highest paid DJ in the world. In the world.
Man.
And they said that year he made $13 million.
Jesus.
$13 million from DJing. Like, I mean, you're going to be shocked at how much these guys get.
He drives a Rolls Royce.
Like, if you're a guy like Paul Van Dyke or one of these other guys, that, or like Steve, is it Steve Aoki or Dick Van Dyke? I mean, you know, he's sweeping chimneys.
And you trip all over the equipment and fall down.
That might be the case.
Become addicted to pain pills.
But honestly, if you're like one of these dudes like Skrillex or whatever, you're making hundreds of thousands of dollars a night because those clubs, they charge a ridiculous amount of money for you to get in and get those tables, and they make a ton of cash, and it also adds prestige to you actually staying at the hotel. I mean, they have tons of money just to give away, it seems like, and these guys are making it. So
it just seems like a nightmare, and it seems to be a situation, one of those parties that even when I was young and single and not fat and stupid and hairy, I was just dumb. I never would have been able to pull girls from there. Never in a million years.
Oh, yeah. To actually, like, pick up someone? Yeah, I can see what you're saying. But being a DJ, dude, that would be the best life. How amazingly fun would that be?
It seems like a good way to lose all the serotonin in your brain, though, because
all the lights flashing.
Like all the drugs that you would take. I mean, if you're at a huge party, you know, three nights a week, like a massive party with, like, you know, 2,000 people.
Sure.
And, like, everything's getting handed to you. I would imagine that.
Probably not the world's healthiest lifestyle.
Yeah, but, I mean, neither is mine.
Well, it's something that I was very excited about yesterday. It's been rumored for the longest time, and now it's official. There is going to be a movie. The Breaking Bad movie. A direct sequel to the end of the series, and it will debut on Netflix.
All right, so there's going to be flashbacks, obviously, because Jesse and Cranston are scheduled to be in it.
See, Cranston has not said officially that he's going to be in it.
See, I keep reading that he's agreed to it.
See, he might have agreed to it, but I don't think that's official. Okay. I know that he has on the record said there was going to be a Breaking Bad movie, and that's why this has kind of gained so much steam. But they are saying it's a direct sequel, and it follows Jesse on the run and what happens to him afterwards. The one thing that I just got to say is, like, if you're not doing flashbacks, you basically got a whole new cast of characters.
Yeah. So you got a very dangerous, it's like True Detective season 2.
Oh, okay. So let's talk about True Detective real quick, because I have not been watching season 3.
I have not watched one since the first season.
Season 1 of True Detective, in my opinion, is one of the best seasons of TV.
It was fantastic.
It was great. Season 2 was so unbelievably bad that it soured me for season 3 to the point where I want to watch a minute of it until it's done and it's complete in its entirety, and I can ask someone and say, was it good? If it's a nope. If it's a yeah, it was good except the ending sucked, nope, I'm out.
I will tell you this, is that the chances of it being good are very, very slim, and I'll tell you why. You can get away with that dialogue in the first one once.
Well, you also have to have those guys doing it. Like, yeah. Like Matthew McConaughey could pull that off because he's just a weird dude anyway.
You could pull it off once. You do that, because looking back, like, the thing with the can is, like, sort of corny and everything, but, like, at the time, you're like, wow, this is, like,
it worked.
What's going to, because you don't know what's going to happen.
The direction worked. It was creepy. Yeah, Fred figured it out.
But you try that again, you ain't passing that off again.
There were some lines in the second True Detective that were so unbelievably corny. I don't know why I didn't throw something at my TV. There's one line that Vince Vaughn delivered that was, I never do anything out of hunger, even eating.
Yeah, they tried to do a lot. They tried to recreate that dialogue, and it's just not going to work.
Like, it was almost like a parody.
Yeah, because everything's going to seem like a parody now. If you try to pull off that weird, you know, pretentious dialogue,
yeah,
you get one shot at it, and you better have that lady's hooterooties. In one of the great non-pornographic sex scenes of all time.
So the Breaking Bad film, there's not a date on it yet, but they are saying that it is going to debut on Netflix, and then AMC will air it later on. So Netflix will get it first, and then if you don't have Netflix, you don't have the $9, the $10. By the way, I'm hearing from our program director that season 3 is really good. Okay, good. Well, I wanted to be done first. I wanted to be finished. I don't want to hear it's good now. There's too much good TV for me to invest that amount of time.
What are you watching?
Right now, I just finished Atlanta, which is the best. Season 2 of Atlanta is one of my it was one of the better seasons of TV in a while. Season 1's really good, but season 2 is next level. Mike Lockhart, Atlanta. Your opinion, thumbs up, thumbs down. Atlanta, yeah. I mean, it's, you got to watch it. It's great.
Okay.
And then I'm looking for something new, but I don't want to waste any time watching.
I've watched a couple episodes of that new thing on Netflix where the girl from American Pie dies in every episode and wakes up in the same like a Groundhog's Day situation.
Well, that's that Happy Death Day to You movie.
Yeah, I guess. But, I mean, yeah, it's sort of like Groundhog's Day. But that's okay. The Ted Bundy tapes are okay.
I've got a bunch of documentaries that I'm waiting to watch. Like, I have not seen The Three Identical Strangers, which is supposed to be
awesome. I've watched
that. How is it? I heard it's great.
I wish I never would have heard about it.
Okay, because I don't know what the twist is. And don't tell me, because I mean, I don't want to read anything about it. I don't know what the twist is.
No, I won't tell you the twist.
Okay.
I didn't, I mean, it wasn't done well enough where it was shocking, and it should have been.
I still haven't watched Bandersnatch, the Black Mirror movie that they made. I still have yet to watch that.
Yeah. They did a Valentine's Day episode of Big Mouth, which I didn't like, which is disappointing because that's one of my favorite shows.
I turned off the Dan Amora one because after like two episodes, I'm like, dude, you just had 2 hours of my life and you still haven't even like plotted to escape from jail yet.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. I know what you're talking about. That the new Jordan Peele show is supposed to suck. There's a lot of money being tossed around. Like, I don't know what to watch.
Want to develop a show, Fred? Let's do it. Let's just go to Netflix.
Yeah, I know. We should. I mean, or certainly do a stand-up special. They put anybody up there.
So he says, 2 episodes left of True Detective, and it's miles better than season 2. That's not saying anything.
No, that's not saying anything.
That's like saying this meal tastes better than feces.
Right. It's like, yeah, that's right. Chef Boyardee tastes fantastic compared to diarrhea.
Well, I actually like Chef Boyardee.
Chef Boyardee was something I didn't find out until high school. Oh. We're never a canned pasta.
I lived off that stuff. The canned ravioli is essentially my childhood. That and Little Debbie's snack cakes. So odds have been revealed as to which team is the favorite to land Antonio Brown. Right now with 4-1 odds, the Arizona Cardinals. Right behind them. The Green Bay Packers. Well, Arizona Cardinals?
Yeah, they're only a player away. Why don't you take a 31-year-old receiver with an attitude problem?
They got to sell tickets, man.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. You got a second-year quarterback who struggled last year. And then why don't you put a 31-year-old who can't be satisfied with his record numbers? Yeah, you pop him on that team where he can't get the ball
on top of a 36-year-old that's in the last year of his career.
Yeah. You
know? I mean, by the time.
Oh, yeah, and a first-year coach, Dan says. Which is, that sounds like a terrible situation.
It goes Green Bay Packers after the Cardinals, and then the Miami Dolphins with 5-1 odds.
Again, Kyler Murray's going to throw him the football. Be great.
Another first-year coach in a team that doesn't stand a chance. Why would you pay someone when you're rebuilding? Why would you pay him while you're rebuilding? It's the same thing with the Jets and Le'Veon Bell.
Packers would be awesome.
Packers
make sense.
Why would
you shoot your way out of town where if you're in Pittsburgh, you have a legit chance to go somewhere?
He doesn't
every
care.
Year. Well, that's obvious. I mean, and because of that, do you really want that selfish a player coming to you?
No. He doesn't care. I mean, he just doesn't care.
And then
I couldn't imagine having him on a team that's rebuilding.
Also near the top with 5-1 odds, make it happen right before they're on Hard Knocks, the Oakland Raiders. That would be fun.
See, that's something Gruden would do, and they have 3 first-round picks, and he would send one to get a 31-year-old receiver where he doesn't like his quarterback. Instead of trading down or doing something, he'll trade one of those picks for Antonio Brown. If you were a player away from a Super Bowl, I might take Antonio Brown. But a young coach or a young QB and then a chance to win. All right, that'll do it for us. I'm getting my back waxed at 4:15. Everyone have a wonderful day. That'll do it for us. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.